Good morning, everybody. Welcome to church this morning. It is our all-age service, so we're all in, and we've got interactive stuff. We've got things for the children to engage them as much as we can. And for the grown-up children, we've got things for you. We'll be looking at the Word. We're going to be thinking this morning. Well, I'm going to let Amy introduce that when she comes up in a moment. So we're going to share the service this morning. I'm really grateful for Amy and Courtney, who are going to share this morning's service with us. They will do an introduction as to what we're going to look at in a moment. We're going to pray first, we're going to sing, and then I'm going to hand over to you two guys. Father, we thank you for Sunday. Thank you that we can come together with people of like minds to focus on you, to hear you speak to us in your word, to sing songs of praise and worship to you and encouragement to each other. And we dedicate this time to you and ask that as we meet as family, as we thank you for the children, we rejoice in them, we love to hear them. And Father, we pray that today you'll speak to young and old, and we bring this time to you. We know that we're not perfect. We're not here because we're good. We're here because we know that we're not good, and we need your grace, and we need your help. We need your forgiveness. So please, even as we start, would you forgive us for the things we've done wrong, that we might bring to you worship from clean hearts with good motives that will be pleasing to you. Help us then, we pray. Speak to us through all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing then our first song, a lovely song of worship that kind of takes us into our theme of the... Now, I'm not going to say what it is. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. What a... You know the chorus. What a beautiful name. What a wonderful name. What a powerful name. Let's worship Jesus as we sing our first song together. Glory in creation. Now Please take your seats. Going to hand over for a while to Amy and Courtney.
Good morning, everybody. Oh, you are alive and awake. It's always a good start. So, yeah, as you heard, my name's Amy, if you don't know me, and along with Courtney, we're going to take you through the next bit of this morning. So, we're going to play a game called The Price is Right. Who has ever watched The Price is Right game show? Bit of an oldie, this one. But anyway, The Price is Right. So, if you don't know it, if you're not familiar with it, the idea is that usually overexcitable contestants come on down and they guess and compete to guess how much things are worth. So, oh yeah, good, I've got my clicker here. So we're going to have a go at this, The Price is Right. So yes, they guess how much things are worth, but you must not go over. So if you're guessing how much something's worth, you've got to be under or spot on, and then they won brilliant prizes. We haven't got great prizes today, but we do have heroes. So hey, all is good. So Courtney is going to be coming round. If you think you want to guess, she will put a microphone in your face and you can tell everybody how much you think the things are worth. So split you down the middle, this side against this side. You get one guess each per team. Right, so let's start. Oh, which button do I press? Not that one. Yay, that one. Okay, so the first item to guess the price of is this tin of baked beans from Tesco's this week. How much is that selling for? Lots of hands up.
£15.
£15! Someone who doesn't do the food shopping very often. Right, £15 on this side. Let's take a guess from this side, Courtney.
£1?
£1. I can tell you it is actually 45 pence. So nobody wins that because you went over. Ah, never mind. Let's try the next one. How much is a Nintendo Switch? This was on a Nintendo store. Arthur looks like he's about to burst. How much would a Nintendo Switch cost?
£250.
Right, let's take a guess from this side. Oh, Mark thinks he knows.
£275.
I can reveal the answer is? £259. Mark, you went over. Ted gets the sweet. Well done. I hope he didn't see my notes. Right, the next item, a Big Mac. Okay, so it's just the Big Mac from McDonald's. Oh, Emil. Emil thinks he knows how much this is.
Okay, £5. So
how much?
£5.
£5, right. Let's see what Emil thinks.
£4.95.
So close. Well done. Emil wins that one. So it's 1 point to this side, 1 point to this side. Let's see the next item. We have a vacuum cleaner. Well, it's a Dyson V11, if you want to know the model. Direct from the Dyson store. How much would this cost? Any guesses?
£250
was that?
Yeah.
Right, let's try someone on the other side. Oh, Adrian knows.
Would you say this one's side?
Yeah. Am I on this
one? Oh, which side? Yeah, we'll let him be on that
£350.
The actual price is £499. So that was Adrian was the nearest and he didn't go over. Okay, the next item we have to guess. Is this speedboat? And that is, if you're interested, Van Dutch 12-metre luxury speedboat 2010 model. How much would someone pay for that? Oh, Mason.
£2,100.
What do they think on the other side? Any guesses over here? Come on, be brave. Caleb thinks he knows.
Pete thinks
he knows.
35,000.
Okay, the actual price is 299,399 pounds. But the nearest, I think, will go to Pete. Well done. Okay, the last one. So, any Taylor Swift fans here today? Any Swifties? No, I didn't think so. Anyway, a ticket to see Taylor Swift at Wembley Stadium in June and this was the cheapest ticket I could find. How much would anyone pay to go and see Taylor Swift at Wembley Stadium? Any guesses? Come on, be brave. No takers, Courtney? Oh.
£10.
Got someone. £10, come on.
200.
You might be surprised at this. 500. And £7, yes. But Jan was the closest. Sorry, I don't think we'll be going to see her. Thank you, Courtney, anytime soon. Right, so a question. What makes something worth a lot of money? What do we think? Any ideas? Yes, Rory. Yeah, very good. Sometimes it's how old it is. Any other ideas? Yep. Yeah, exactly. It can be loads of reasons, and what it costs to produce and all these sorts of things, and people wanting to make a lot more profit. Okay, so who can tell me what this is? Arthur. Do you know what was your hand up? No, Rory again. It's Prime energy drink, for those of you who might not know what it is. Now, about a year ago, these things were almost impossible to get hold of, and they were selling for up to £1,000 on eBay. And it was all because two YouTubers made them popular and said that everyone should be drinking them. And so they were really expensive and hard to get hold of, and that was why they were so valuable, because these two people promoted them and they were really almost impossible to get hold of. And that's just how the crazy world we live in. And also the value of things, it does go up and down. But today we're thinking about the value of things and how much things are worth to us. And we'll be looking at a story that Jesus told. And we're going to have a look at that on a video now. And children, I really want you to watch this really carefully, because Courtney is going to be asking you some questions about it straight after we've seen the video.
Okay, so I hope you've been watching carefully, children. So the first question is, at the very beginning, what was the man doing? Okay, Rory, I saw your hand go up first. Yeah, you got the first bit right. So he was walking around, but what was he doing? What was he doing while he was walking? Yes, Samuel. Whistling. Yep, correct. So the man was walking and whistling at the very beginning. What happened next? Rory sort of gave you a bit of a hint then. Yes, Ted? He tripped over a treasure chest. Well done. Then what happened next after he tripped over that treasure chest? Arthur? He did. He went and got a spade and he dug it up. Well done. What happened next? Caleb? Yep, he did. He got the treasure chest and he sold all his belongings. Well done. And what were some of the things that the man sold? Who can remember? Yes, someone said cow, correct. Anyone else? Rory? Pardon? Clock, well done, yes. Samuel? Pardon? Yep, and what else? Anyone else? There was a sink and there was a bike. Don't know if you spot those two things. Well done. What did he do next after he sold everything that belonged to him? Caleb. Yeah, perfect. He did. He sold everything he had, and the money he got, he sold and he spent on the land that was where the treasure chest was. So what was in the chest? Anyone else know? We've got the same boys up. Yes. Pardon? A pearl. And with the pearl there was? Yes, Rory? Yeah, riches are the other treasures. Well done. And how did that make him feel? Oh, no one's got their hands up. How did it make the man feel that when he found all of that treasure in the box, in the chest? Yes, Rory.
Really happy.
Really, really happy. I think we'd all feel the same, wouldn't we, if we found a treasure chest.
Brilliant. Thank you, Courtney. Okay, so that is a really short parable, and a parable just means a story with a meaning, and that parable that Jesus told. And it's just one verse. Can we have the verse up? I'll read it to you. Okay, so it says, it's found in Matthew 6, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had, and he bought that field. Now, this story reminds me a bit of something that happened in 1992, not too far away from here, when some treasure was found in a field. Who has heard of the Hoxton Hoard? Yeah, quite a few people have heard of the Hoxton Hoard. A farmer in Hoxton lost his hammer when he was working in a field, so he called his friend, who had a metal detector, to come along and help him to try and find this lost hammer. So there he was, looking for his hammer in the field, when the metal detector beeps, goes crazy, and they found something, so he starts digging, and it isn't the hammer that he finds. He finds all this treasure, which was Roman gold and silver worth £1.7 million. And the funny thing is that my granddad had actually owned that field some years before, but he didn't own it when the treasure was found. So unlike the man in Jesus' story, he missed out and didn't get any treasure. But the man in the parable knew that the treasure was so valuable, it was worth giving up everything for. So Jesus is telling us how it works in his kingdom and how knowing him and having a relationship with Jesus is the most valuable and important thing. And the challenge for us to think about is how valuable is Jesus to us? The man knew that everything everything that he owned wasn't as valuable as getting the treasure. And that treasure for us is Jesus and knowing Jesus. And so do we put him first above all the other stuff in our lives and value him more than the things we own? And Jesus once warned people about this. And he said, don't store up treasures that can rot away and fade away and rot. Instead, choose the treasure I bring. Do you know what's even more surprising? The treasure God brings isn't found in getting stuff. Jesus, when he spoke, turned people's understanding upside down and inside out. He taught that the best thing isn't to get loads of stuff. That will never make us happy. And that's quite different, isn't it, to the world that we live in that says you need the latest iPhone, you need the latest cool trainers to be happy. So we're told all that we'll be happy. But the only thing that will bring us contentment is knowing Jesus and putting him first in our lives. And it's not wrong to have nice things. And I don't think Jesus was saying that we need to sell everything we have to know him. In fact, I know he wasn't saying that. But it's about our attitude to what we have and how highly we place it in our lives. Knowing Jesus and being part of his kingdom is free. You can't buy it, you can't earn it, and yet we can't do anything to get it. We just have to accept Jesus and say sorry for what we've done wrong. Turn around and follow him. But there is a cost involved, and Jesus tells us to count the cost. In other words, look at what it will cost us so we can be all in for him. This verse from Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." That just means that the things that are important to us and the things that we treasure more than anything will shape us and become the main focus of our lives. So I want us to think about how we can put Jesus in his rightful place and treasure him more than anything else. We're now going to sing another song. So I'll hand over to the music team if they can come up and join me. And we're going to sing "Build Your Kingdom Here," I believe. Thank you.
Come sing your room and reign.
Please take your seats, and just thought we'd try and make it a bit personal today. We've talked about things in general. Some of you are here, and you won't know Jean, which is very strange, because everybody it feels knows Jean. There we go, have that. So Jean, I'm going to ask you what makes Jesus special and precious to you, but give us a little bit about how long have you been coming to church here?
Since my twins were little, so about 50 years.
50 years, yes. My word.
I burnt my house down.
You burnt your house down?
Yeah.
Yeah, as you do.
And Mary and Ian took us in for, six weeks, was it?
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
And that was the start of it. There's a story there. You'll come. You'll have to tell us more of that. Yeah, so 50 years. Complete change. Do you have a particular one favourite song or hymn?
Oh, yeah, it's easy. It's yep. Richard's as well.
Yeah.
It's Be There My Vision.
Be There My Vision. We sing that a lot, so that's...
Yeah, that's, we've always had that.
You've always had that one.
Yeah.
Excellent. When you're not in church... when you're not in church...
This will divide the nation.
What do you like to do? What are your hobbies?
I like to go to Norwich City Football. Actually, I like all sports.
You like all sports. Well, you do, don't you? But she is a Norwich City. It just shows the amount of grace we have here, doesn't it? That we
now, there's a lot of
hands up, Norwich guys here. If you're a Norwich people, I just want to know who I'm insulting here. Yeah, good. Yeah, okay, you're in a big minority, don't worry. No, well done, Norwich, for yesterday. Your favourite TV show, Jean?
Oh.
Do you have a favourite TV show?
Oh, that's a difficult one. We don't watch a great deal.
No.
They're all quiz things like Countdown. Ooh, Pointless.
Pointless. You like Pointless? Ah, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Tell us then, why is Jesus precious to you?
Well, I've walked with him a very, very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
I was 3 years old when I trusted in the Lord, not very old at all. And one day, I'd gone to church since I was a baby. And one day he just talked to me at three. Mm-hmm. You don't understand sanctification. You don't understand any of those things. But I knew that he made every little flower that opened, every bird that sang, the mountains. He actually made everything. But I also knew that although he was a good man, he was the Lord, but people didn't like him. They lied about him. I knew as a little child that they hurt him and that they killed him. But I looked back, when you asked me that question before, I also knew that it wasn't those cruel nails that held him to the cross. It seemed ridiculous to me as a little girl that someone who made the universe could be held to a bit of wood with nails. I just couldn't believe that. But I knew that it was love that kept him there. That only he could open the gates of heaven and let us in. And that was very, a little faith, but a real true faith. But of course, I had lived my whole life. I've walked with him all my life. And I had the privilege of being the secretary across the road at the school. I was there for 30 years. Seems a long time. But I had the privilege of going to that school every day. And I prayed for the children, the good ones, the naughty ones, the sad ones, the lonely ones. But I prayed for the staff and the children's parents. And Jesus was with me every day. He helped me every day. And do you know, I always knew that in the end, Jesus would say to me, "Come on, Jean, get your coat. You're going to come home with me today." And I know it's very simple faith, but just walking with him every day, I know that.
And that length of time, that experience of 50-odd years, well, no, longer than that.
Nearly 70 years. You made me feel really old.
That length of time, but it's that which, and for children, listen to what Jean is saying. Those of you who are younger in the faith, here's a lady who's been doing it. And she's proved it.
I would say it doesn't matter if you're 3 or 93.
Yeah.
If the Lord comes and talks to you personally, which he did to me that day, then don't let him walk by.
No. Fantastic.
Trust him.
He is the best, the most precious. Yeah. Gene, thank you so much. And one of the great things of having Jesus as a friend and him being a precious to us, one of the great things is that we can pray to him, we can talk. So we're going to just take some prayer time now before we come and look into the Bible together. And again, I'm just going to hand back over to Amy for this section. Thanks, Jean.
Okay, so here we have a wheelbarrow. I'll bring it a bit more forward, actually. And wheelbarrows are used often by farmers and gardeners to put their rubbish in, aren't they? So things they don't want anymore, then they can take it away, put it on the muck heap or wherever they want to take it, and they don't want it anymore. And today we've been thinking about things in our lives that might take the place of Jesus, that we see as more important than him. And Courtney's going to be bringing around some paper and pens. If you want to start doing that, it'd be great. Thank you. And if you want to, you can write down anything in your life that might get in the way of you putting God first and that you'd like to change. It might be a wrong attitude or something you've done wrong or valuing other stuff more than him, like we were talking about. Whatever it is, I invite you to write or draw it on the paper and then screw it up, and you can come to the front and throw it into this wheelbarrow as a sign that we just don't want it anymore, and it's the rubbish in our lives. And as you do that, you can pray that God will take it and help you to put him first. So we're just going to play some music while you come and do that. That would be great. Thank you.
Let's just quieten ourselves. That's helped us to think about some of the rubbish in our lives or some of the things which we think are precious but are not as precious as Jesus. And so, Lord Jesus, as we've thought about this and we've drawn or we've written things on these bits of paper which we've then thrown into the or put into the wheelbarrow, it symbolizes that they're really not that important compared to you. We ask together that you will help us to treasure you more than anything else, and that we'll go from this place today and try to put into practice what we've said in this little act this morning, that we really will put you first and we'll treasure you and we'll value you more than anything else. We're sorry when we don't love you as much as we should. We're sorry when we put other things before you. because you deserve everything. So help us to live in that way. We pray now in your name. Amen. Amen. Okay, how are we doing for time? We've got time. We're going to sing one little song before the children leave us to do a craft this morning. And just to help solidify in their minds this whole thing about the treasure in the jar. I don't know how many of you know this little song. It's been around for years and years and years. I'm just going to sing it through twice. Just kind of in the attitude of prayer, if we can. And we'll say, Lord, you are more precious. Let's affirm this in our hearts. So I'm going to suggest, how long ago did we stand up? Yeah, now let's just remain in our seats and we'll sing this one devotionally to the Lord. And children, you can go out. And we're going to spend a little bit more time with the others. I'll explain that afterwards. Let's sing first. May that be true for each of us this morning. Right, children, there's some pottery, there's some little treasure jars for you to paint in there. If you want to go out there, we've got some nice ceramic pens and you can decorate your own little treasure jar if you want to. Whilst that is happening, we're going to just go a little bit further into this parable this morning, the parable of the treasure that Jesus said here. So the parable of the treasure in the field. When we think of treasure, we naturally think of a treasure chest. Well, actually, if we go back and put ourselves into the situation in those days, they wouldn't have had a chest. It would almost certainly have been a little clay pot like that on the bottom there that they would have put it in. That's what they did. And they would often bury their valuables when they went on a journey rather than leaving it into homes, which were pretty vulnerable in those days. They didn't have windows and doors, at least with the same locking mechanism as we have. So if they ever went on a journey, if the men went to fight or something like that, they would bury their treasure in a place where they thought nobody else would find it. And sometimes they forgot where they'd put it. And that's quite likely what was the kind of scenario that is in Jesus' mind when he tells this story. So the children are painting little pots, or they're drawing on little pots like that this morning. This parable is one of a collection of six parables in Matthew chapter 13, where Jesus is talking about what he calls the kingdom of heaven. or the kingdom of God. If you read the chapter, that phrase, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, is used interchangeably. It means the same kind of thing. You know, a parable, as Amy said, is a human story, an earthly story, an everyday story. It's got a heavenly spiritual meaning. And so when Jesus talks about the parable here, the treasure, he's talking obviously about the treasure being the kingdom of heaven. And I want to make sure that before we go, we understand what the kingdom of heaven is. In a nutshell, the kingdom of heaven is about those who, and it's made up of those who have Jesus as their leader. I've put a picture here of a shepherd and the sheep, and the shepherd is in front of the sheep and he's leading, and the sheep are following. And the kingdom of heaven is made up of people who have Jesus as their leader. Those who submitted to Jesus and said, I'll be one of your sheep. I'll let you look after me. In fact, I need you to look after me, and I will follow you. You will be my king in my life. So that's that little picture there. And we might be thinking, what is it that leads our life? What is it that leads your life? What is it that calls the shots? What do you follow? It's a challenge, isn't it, for all of us? Lots of us would say we follow Jesus, but in reality, in the everyday life, do we? That idea of the kingdom, of being followers of Jesus, was radically different, though, in his day. You see, the people of his day, the general understanding of the people of God, the people in the kingdom, the people where Jesus was living, would have been thinking, well, it's us, isn't it? Those of us who are Jews, those of us we can trace our ancestry back to Abraham. We are the people of God. The people of God, the kingdom of God, is that when Jesus was talking, that was the background that he was talking against. It was the Jewish people. And really, it was only the male Jews that really counted. You know, the male Jews, when they went to pray, when they prayed, they would pray something like this. I thank you, God, that I'm not a Gentile. In other words, I'm not a non-Jew. I thank you that I'm not a Gentile, I'm not a woman, and I'm not a slave. Unimaginable, but that was the level of their thinking. So their thinking was the kingdom. God was really only interested in the men, and he was only interested in people that were of Jewish descent. They were the in crowd. Now, in a sense, they were God's people. God had chosen Abraham. He had given his rules and his laws through them. He had given them teachers and prophets. There was a special relationship between the Jews and God. There's no denying that. But it was a but, and it's a big but, because it was never really as simple as that. It was never simply a question of being a descendant of Abraham, or the right kind of descendant of Abraham, or of Isaac, or of Jacob, or one of the 12 tribes. It was never really a point of being able to trace your genealogy back to them. You see, when God first came to Abraham and talked to him and said, this is what I want to do through you, what God said to him, or what Abraham did, was Abraham believed the Lord. He believed him, and God credited it to him as righteousness. It was the fact that Abraham believed him. It's always been about belief. Hence, that one there, being in relationship with God, was never a matter of family. It was always about faith. It was always faith, not family. Right back for Abram. It was because he believed God, he trusted God, and he took God at his word and his promises that God credited to him as righteous. In other words, declared Abram to be one of his friends and one of his people. And when you trace the Bible story through, it's always those people who have faith in God, trust in God. It's never about family. It's never about who we are or what we are or what we do. And yet, the people of Jesus' day, their natural thing was to think that if I'm a descendant, if I'm a Jew, then I'm part of God's family. So when Jesus starts to speak about himself as being the leader, that was absolutely radical. That's why they killed him at the end. That's why they nailed him on the cross. And there's a lot of people today, as we bring this up to speed, there are a lot of people in our culture that think the same kind of way. Well, because I'm this or I'm that or I do this or I do that, I must be a Christian. I'm in God's family. Or he will, at the end of the day, he'll look and he'll have favor and kindness on me and I will get in. You see, there are people who think, well, I go to church. And you've heard them. You've heard it said. God forbid that this would be for any of us in here, because we're in church this morning, aren't we? But don't let any of us think that just because we're in church, you know, it's not a fancy, you know, old church like that. We've got a lovely, you know, we're privileged. I mean, it's hot in here. You go to some of the churches today, it'll be freezing. You know, it's not just about the... Don't let any of us think that because we've gone to church, we're naturally in the kingdom. Or because we've had something done to us as a baby. I was christened, I was also baptized by immersion, but neither of those things made me a Christian, that made me, put me into the kingdom. I think we know that, don't we? But I'm saying, just in case there's someone here who's still getting it confused, who's still thinking that because I do this or I do that, or that was done to me. Some people will say, well, I follow the Sermon on the Mount. That is great if we do. The wonderful teaching, and that's what we're looking at on Sunday mornings at the moment. That's the teaching of Jesus. You know, describing the way of living for those who are in his kingdom. Well, I follow the Sermon on the Mount. Lots of people say that, but they don't follow Jesus. They want to be good people. People say, well, I give to charity. And some people say, well, I follow the Ten Commandments. Now, here's the problem. See, if we're going to go by and think that we're going to be in the kingdom by following the Ten Commandments, then we've got to follow them perfectly, all the time, every single one of them. Jesus said, if you've fallen on one of them, then that's too much. So great if we're going to follow the Ten Commandments, but if we're going to do it, we've got to do it. And we know we can't. And that shows us we've failed before God. Tells us we need a Savior. We need someone to deal with those times that we've broken God's law. Because that breaking of the law separates us from God. It puts us out of his kingdom. If you go back to Adam and Eve, their very first, you know, people, they were walking with God. They loved God and they was, you know, everything was good in the garden. But when they disobeyed, what happened? They were put out, weren't they? The relationship was broken. And they'd only just eaten the fruit of the tree and had a bit of an argument between them. They hadn't done a lot wrong, had they? At that point in time, they weren't really bad people, but it broke the relationship. So if we're going to try and follow the Sermon on the Mount, or if we're going to go by the Ten Commandments, what they actually do is show us how we fall short. And it tells us that we need a Savior. It tells us that we're not actually in the kingdom of God. We've been put aside. There was a guy called Nicodemus went to Jesus one day. You know, Nicodemus, you might ring some bells. He was one of the leaders of the Jewish people. He was like one of the, he wasn't just one of the deacons, he was one of the elders. He was like one of the pastors. And Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, you need to be born again. Because the effect, in other words, unless you're born again, you're not going to be in the kingdom. You get the seriousness of this. So, we all want to be in the kingdom. But we know we're not, because we've broken God's laws. By nature, we're not. And that brings us back to the parable of the treasure. You see, if the one thing that is so that we really need is to be in the kingdom so that we can be with the Lord and have him with us as our leader and our savior and our rescuer and our protector and our provider in life, and also to make sure that we're with him in heaven, then nothing is more important than that. Nothing is more important. It really is a matter of life and death. And that's why Jesus sets this up with this man. He was prepared to sell everything in order that he might be in the kingdom or have the kingdom. So I'm going to ask the question again this morning. What is most important to you? Are you willing to play Russian roulette with your soul, with your eternity, hoping that day that you stand before the Lord, he'll let you in? Now, the good news is, you haven't got a hope. You haven't got a hope. You can know that he will. Because it is through Jesus. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to be our Savior. He came to be our leader. He came to then deal with our sins by dying on the cross and rising again, taking the blame for us, dealing with those things which have separated us from God, dealing with those things so that we can be in the kingdom and be forgiven and be accepted, be part of God's people. I put it to you this morning that there is nothing more important in life or in death, nothing more precious than Jesus, therefore, because he is the one. As Gene said, there is no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. He's the only one. He is the great treasure. Let me say one other thing. There is another parable that runs with this one as well. There's two parables right close. They're only a matter of words. One is the parable of the treasure. The other one comes immediately afterwards. It's a parable of a pearl. It's a trader who goes into a market and he sees the pearl of great price. And he too goes and sells everything in order that he'll have enough money to buy the pearl. So you've got here two people. You've got the guy who's walking along, probably eking out an existence on subsistence living, probably a farm worker. He didn't own the land in the story. So he's a farmer. He's very poor. And he finds this treasure that's going to change his life. He happened and he stumbled across it. This other guy is a merchant. He's a trader. His life is spent looking for expensive things. And as he searches, he finds this pearl. And they both, this very poor man and this probably fairly wealthy man, find the thing that they know is so valuable. And we're all different, aren't we? Some people are looking for something more. You might be here this morning and you know you're not in the kingdom and you're looking, you're hoping, you're longing for something better and something more. It's Jesus. You might be one of those, like this chap, who's just really life for you is just eking out, it's just managing. And there's not really much hope. You know, you just know you've just got to go on day by day and it's going to be the same, and you hope at the end of your life that you'll get into heaven. But today, maybe today you've realized the preciousness of Jesus. It's almost that you've tripped up as you've sitting here hearing about Jesus. He's caught you out. He's precious. Think on it. Jesus is here. And he's available to anybody, rich or poor, successful or artisan. But he's the one that will get us into the kingdom of heaven. And being in the kingdom of heaven is the most important thing that any of us can have, be, or do. And he's here this morning. You can receive him. What do I have to give up? I got to go and sell everything. No, you haven't. But you've got to give up your heart. You've got to hand over your life. You've got to hand over the reins of your life. So that is everything, really, isn't it? You willing to do that? Jim Elliot was a missionary, and it cost him his life. But these are words that he said. He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. He's no fool who gives up what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. It's not really a cost, is it? It is a cost to follow Jesus. But we can't keep our life. We're not going to live forever. And we will have to stand before Jesus. It makes sense, does it not? To yield our life, our heart, everything over. To gain what we cannot lose. Because once we get eternal life, once we get the kingdom, once we get forgiven, we cannot lose that. It's there forever. When we get into heaven, we're there forever. So this morning, for those of you, the many of you who are followers of Jesus, treasure him, value him, be thankful for him, give him everything, serve him with everything, because he's worth it. He really is worth it, isn't he? Because everything you've got, everything you aspire to be in life, life and in death, comes from him and depends on him. For those of you who are here and you'd say, yeah, I'm not yet there yet, I'm not there yet. What other hope have you got? How else do you think you're going to get into heaven? Come to him today. Give him yourself. Why would you pass over this treasure again when he's here for you? Let me pray, and then we're going to sing. Lord Jesus, there is so much in this little parable that you told. And as we've thought about it when we've been all together and we've gone into it in some greater depth here, we realize that it is you, because everything hinges on you. You are the treasure. And what you bring to us, being part of God's kingdom. Oh, dear Father, I pray for any here who are still hoping and delight and depending on things they do or things that have been done or how they live. Lord, I pray that you will open their hearts to see that you are the one, and that you would become more precious and desirable and more beautiful and more wonderful than anything else, and that they would be willing to yield their whole life to you. And Lord, for all of the rest of us, those of us who've been privileged that you've already opened our eyes and you've already saved us, that we would treasure you and value you and realize just how precious you are, that we would live for you every day, fully, completely, totally. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Thank you that you died on the cross for us. Thank you that you rose. Thank you that you're living today. Thank you that you're in heaven for us. And one day you're going to come back and you're going to welcome us into your kingdom. And we will be with you for eternity in a place of no pain, no regret, no suffering. Everything being beautiful and wonderful and glorious forever. We thank you that this is what you bring to us. May we treasure you and love you and give you all the credit and all the worth that is yours by right. I pray these things in Jesus' name. In your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song. As we do, it's a song of dedication. It's a song of reflection on so much of what we've talked about. All I once held dear, built my life upon, all this world reveres and wars to own. All I once thought gain, I've counted loss, spent and worthless. And the chorus, can you just pop the chorus on for us, Martin? Just click that on if we'd like to go back to it as well. We got a chorus? No. Okay, we got a freeze on that one. But you're the best, you're my all, you're the best. It's all that Jesus is. I can't remember the exact words. Let's sing it together, but let's sing it to him from our hearts and mean it.
My life upon
all is worth
living and what to owe.
All I once or gain, I abandon us with a purpose of
spoken to you this morning. If you've got questions, you just want to talk to someone about it, just, you know, get it off your chest, and you want to know more, you want to do more, but don't quite know how to do it, then have a word with somebody that you know is a Christian. Come and see me. We've got those little Why Jesus books that explain it. Do feel free to do that. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each one of you today and always. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here. Teas and coffees, biscuits and other goodies are outside. You might want to have a look at what the children have been doing as well. They've been beavering away out there. They've been as good as gold decorating their pots. So go and have a little look at what they're doing. Encourage them as well. Thank you.